The 100 Years' War, the Crecy period, French disasters in Brittany and Gascony. While the French were waiting for Edward III's invasion, things began to go wrong for them, both in their operations in Brittany as well as in Gascony. In Brittany, a succession of defeats encouraged the myth of English invincibility. There were some incidents in the Tréguier Peninsula, which was the work of Richard Totsham and his garrison at La Roche-Derrien. They raided and sacked the town of Lannion by night and then carried off valuable stores as well as prisoners. The event was famous for the heroic defense of a single French knight, Geoffrey de Pontblanc, who awoke to find the English already inside the gates. He blocked a narrow street personally, fighting the English off with lance and sword, and then with his bare hands until he was finally hit by an arrow and then clubbed to death as he lay on the ground. One of Charles Bois' lieutenants attempted to intercept the English forces as they returned to their base, but this French force, although much larger, was ambushed in the marshland and driven off with heavy losses. Shortly after Charles Bois began his major offensive in the summer, Charles, according to the English sources, had a substantial army, and it did include some pretty powerful forces. The vassals of the area, among the nobility of the northern and eastern Brittany, along with their retainers, there were a large number of mercenaries from Frisia, Burgundy, and Savoy, as well as the Genoese crossbowmen of Aiton Doria, and the infantry units from Languedoc. With some of these forces, Charles laid siege to three of the principal garrisons of the English in Brittany, one at Brest, one at Lesvenen, and the other at La Roche-Denien. Then, gathering up the main body of French troops, Charles conducted a sweep across Brittany's northern coast. The English garrisons in Brittany had not had any significant reinforcements for quite some time, and their total strength probably was no more than a few hundred men. There were even disturbing signs that some of the English-Breton allies were preparing to abandon them, setting up independent captains or actually selling their loyalty and their strongholds to Charles of Blois. It was the most serious threat to the English position in Brittany since 1342. Then the English deputy, the deputy lieutenant, I should say, in Brittany, Sir Thomas Dagworth, decided to leave the beleaguered towns to be defended by their commanders. Well, he made a rapid tour of the other English strongholds in the peninsula and then saw to their security. Sir Thomas only had with him nothing but a strong escort, 80 men-at-arms and about 100 archers. On June the 9th, 1346, before dawn, he was suddenly confronted by Charles of Blois' army in the northern Finistère area around Saint-Paul-de-Lyon. The English were trapped, and they were forced to fight it out. They went to the top of a hill and dug in, and although attacked on three sides, they fought the French off until nightfall. Now, the French attacked on foot with dismounted men-at-arms. They brought their crossbowmen and some of the Languedoc infantry. Now, this is a tribute to the influence of the English battle tactics, which Charles of Blois learned to imitate long before any of the other French commanders had managed to do that. And, of course, when we get the later battles, the French are always charging on horseback into the archers and getting mowed down. In this case, they're walking in to get it mowed down. Now, the last and the strongest assault on the English position was actually led by Charles himself, coming in the early evening. But it also failed. Charles of Blois was now forced to retreat, leaving many of his dead and wounded on the hillside. After the battle, an English roll showed that all 80 of the men-at-arms had survived, but they were all wounded. Dagworth, writing to Edward III, said, quote, "I commend my troops to you. You will not find better men in all your realm," end of quote. Well, in Gascony, back at Aiguillon, there was still no progress. In spite of the French numbers and their great field works and their river barriers, the Duke of Normandy still could not seal off that town. Supplies continued to arrive by small groups of English and Gascon men-at-arms. And then in July, a detachment of Lancaster's army actually fought their way through the French lines, bringing food and supplies. While supplies were short in the city, which required these desperate measures, the French were actually worse off. The French had 10 times the number of people to feed, and it was too large of a force to live off the land. practically the whole Seneschalies of Toulouse was stripped of grain, wine, and foodstuffs. But the French were still short of food. And when they were hit by the great scourge of medieval military encampments, dysentery, things began to really disintegrate. Now, Lancaster moved his Anglo-Gascon army from Bordeaux to La Rochelle and began harassing the French lines of communication, killing foragers, capturing and killing messengers, seizing cart trains, and then hitting detached groups of French soldiers. But the Duke of Normandy had decided that he was going to stay there and battle it out with his honor. So now he decided on another ploy. They would attack Aiguillon from the south, because that's the area that had the older and lower north wall by the old town of Lot. The French would attack the northern citadel from three specially constructed wooden towers that were mounted on barges. It would be a failure. Now, we're putting these on barges, and one would assume that the soldiers would wait until they were on the other side before climbing into the tower. But apparently, the towers were put on the barges full of men, because what happened, on the day fixed for the attack, a Gascon trebuchet from the citadel fired one of its stones and hit one of the towers as it was being maneuvered across the river. It capsized, drowning all of its occupants. The others were then withdrawn. The Duke of Normandy would remain in this position, locked in the siege, until finally his father, Philip VI, was forced to issue orders to leave and arrive north to help him fight Edward III in Normandy. So, they're just not having any luck here. They're not going to have much luck for a while. Now, the sources for this are the Hundred Years' War by Nylands, the Hundred Years' War by Perrois, and the Hundred Years' War, Volume 1, Trial by Battle, by Sumption. So I hope you enjoyed that. As always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment. Check out the CDs, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.